We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, this is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Kunkel, brought to you by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics, Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics, and by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now, here are your hosts, Malcolm Butler and Dave Nitz.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inside Tech Basketball, live from the Doghouse Sports Grill at 102 North Homer Street in Ruston. This is Inside Tech Basketball. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Brooke Storr. And for the first half hour, we will talk Lady Texter basketball, take a look at the non-conference schedule. We will look in-depthly at our Conference USA doubleheader that we had in Huntington, West Virginia this past weekend. And then we'll look forward to this weekend when we will host Western Kentucky. At the bottom of the hour, it'll be Dave Nitz joined by Eric Conkle, and they will talk all things Bulldog basketball. Brooke Storr, welcome to our first show of the year.
Thanks, Malcolm. It's great to be here.
It is. They've got us socially distanced. They've got us separated, two different tables. I told them when I had to sit on this side that they were getting my bad side, but then I realized I probably don't have a good side, and half my face is covered, so what's it matter, right?
You know, this is, the mask has actually been good for me. You know, there's no point in wearing makeup. There's no point in fixing your hair, so it's actually been really good for me. But, yeah, this is kind of weird for me. We don't go out to eat. We, you know, do pickup, and we're trying to make, you know, all the precautions, take all those precautions just to keep our team safe and help us play. And so it's kind of weird to be in a restaurant.
And if you have something stuck in your teeth, nobody knows it because
Yes.
You got your face covered up. So let's dive in. We'll talk a little bit here on the first part about our non-conference schedule, and then we'll talk more specifically about this past weekend against Marshall, and then again we'll look forward to Western Kentucky. And we're not going to talk a whole lot about COVID. People are tired of hearing about COVID, I know, but impossible to have the first show of the year without talking a little bit about the summer and what led into, you know, fall practice. And there were, I know there were some stoppages and everything you guys have been through. I guess just talk a little bit about the challenges you guys faced and what it's been like since coming back from the shelter in place way back this summer.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, definitely. But I think the one thing that, you know, this group has done a really good job of, they've stuck together and they've tried to make the best of every situation we've been put in. And I have to give our players a lot of credit. You know, there's anything but normal right now, and you know, oftentimes we don't handle change very well as humans. And they've done a great job and have been very resilient, and they have rolled with every, and we've tried to over communicate and as a staff, and that's hard when things are changing, you know, sometimes minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. And they've been very patient, and you know, they've had their moments, we all have, but they've been really good, and they really pull for each other. I love that about this group. They fight for each other. They really pull for each other. They want each other to be successful, and they've done a great job. This group's pretty close, and they really take that to heart. So just kind of fighting through that. We had some stoppages, and I think sometimes our players, that when we have one or two that were out, they were so concerned about the ones that were out. They were checking on them. They were trying to make sure that they were still connected, whether it be through our Zooms or FaceTimes or, you know, anything that we were doing as a team. And they did a great job with that, so I have to give them a lot of credit. You know, Mandy Miller has been, you know, an unsung hero for us, and just I know that the only people that are even more tired of dealing with this than all of us is our training staff and our medical staff, and they've gone above and beyond to allow us to be safe first and foremost, and to allow these young people to do what they love to do.
You know, and you mentioned some stoppages. We haven't had one, knock on wood.
Malcolm.
We haven't had one since, what, way back in September?
Yes, for us personally,
yeah.
And that's been good. I think we've been very fortunate. Honestly, you know, I think we're going to get, you know, 10 years down the road, and we're going to know a lot more about why this is impacting certain people, and whether it's genetically or, you know, blood type or, well, all these different things. And we don't know any of those answers right now, and we certainly don't pretend to try to find those answers. But I think the important thing for us is that we tried to keep those protocols in place, and they've done a really good job of, you know, following those and adhering to those. But I think we've been pretty lucky, too. I think sometimes this is good fortune. And, you know, my concern was maybe enough of us haven't had it that we're going to get hit at the worst time. But, you know, I choose to be optimistic, and I don't want to live in fear and think that way. So we've just encouraged our players to continue to do what they're doing and try to take care of one another. And they've made a lot of sacrifices. This is not the normal college experience for them, but they also understand that we do have it a lot better than some people. I was telling them today, you know, Stanford women are the number one team in the country, and they have not been in their own beds for 2 months. They don't get to play at home. They are basically nomadic. They go from place to place, and you know, that's not normal, and those kids have been so focused, and we have it really good compared to some people. So we are going to be grateful for the opportunities that we have, and just be thankful for every day that we get to have together to compete.
And not only does it take obviously some luck, as you mentioned, as far as not testing positive, but you got to have kids who want to play. And you look across the country, I mean, Duke women's basketball, they have already opted out for their entire season. SMU opted out for their entire season on the women's side. But you've got a group that you've had nobody opt out, and they have all really wanted to play.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting as the season goes on, and teams win games, lose games, you know, how it wears on you mentally, because it is a lot. When you go to Huntington, West Virginia, you're basically stuck in your hotel room for 3 days, that wears on you after a while. And I think as humans, we're designed to have connection and community, and some of that is hard because we're taking some of that away from each other, and that's a challenge. But I also think it goes back to this group really does enjoy being around each other, and they like to compete together, and I think they understand that if we have the opportunity to do that. You know, we had a little bit of a scare when we got to Marshall this weekend, and I had to tell them that, you know, they had some issues, and you know, everybody was safe and they had enough to play and all of that. And, you know, as a coach and as a leader, my first question was, how do you feel about this? Are you okay with this? What do you, and they were all like, we want to play. And that's been their theme consistently. And they like to compete for each other. And that's what you want as a coach.
No doubt about it. On the floor, you know, you lost a couple of seniors to graduation in Grayson Bright and Daria McCutcheon. You know, Grayson obviously saw a lot of playing time this last year. She was your one starter that you lost to graduation. How have you seen this team differ from last year's group through 8 ball games?
I think we're defending much better earlier in the season than we did last year. And, you know, we made some adjustments as a staff and kind of how we're teaching things. But I think some of it is we have some experienced players and some older players that are, you know, really buying into that. And I think they understand that if we can play really, really hard, like the one thing that we talked about a lot about And I think having that win go in the conference tournament and ending the way we did last year and just those last couple, 2 or 3 weeks headed into the tournament and how they were playing, they were so close. And we had some tough experiences that they had to go through and just some heartbreaking losses, you know, one possession games. And I think they learned a lot from that, but they also had a hunger and a desire to be back out there together. And so I think early on, this group is further along defensively. We're not shooting the ball very well right now, or at least we did this past weekend. But I think for them, they've taken a step. And some of that is, who do we want to be as a group? What's our identity going to be? And I think that they, you know, how do we define playing hard? And what does that look like? And I think they've really taken that to heart. And I think you can see that by the number of charges this group has taken defensively, and the momentum and how they cheer for each other and how they fight for each other. And I think we've been much better on the boards, too. So those were two concerns going into the season of how are we going to defend with the post depth that we have and our size, and then how are we going to be able to rebound the basketball? And I think we've had a number of people step up in those areas, and we need a little bit more, but I think that they've answered the challenge in that respect.
We're not going to go over every game by game. That would get a little monotonous, but you know, you went 4-2 in your five and one in your non-conference portion of your schedule. You only had the one game against Arkansas Pine Bluff that was canceled due to COVID. So you know, you had the loss at Texas, where I thought we really competed there. I mean, you went out rebound Texas, who was, you know, huge inside. I thought the effort was there against Texas. They're ranked in the top 20 in the country for a reason.
Yeah, and you can see, I mean, they're 2-0 in the Big 12, and they've started out really well, and I think they're playing even better now. And we played them early, but we turned the basketball over too many times, just didn't give ourselves. We shot 40% there. We out-rebounded them. We had a player that in the post, and Bree Harris, who goes for 25-8 against probably Charlie Collier is going to be the number one or number two draft pick in the WNBA this year. 6'5" athlete that can alter shots, that can score it. She's averaging 20 plus, a double-double, and Bree outplayed her, and that was really good to see. I thought we executed really well. Once we handled, you know, taking care of the basketball, I thought we executed really well. I thought we screened well. I thought we got good shots, and that was really good to see. So I think we had some confidence from that, and I thought we defended decent. I mean, you look up and you say you gave up 87. Well, we turned it over 30 times, and some of those were live ball turnovers that led to some transition. But I thought we competed well, and, you know, I'm not into moral victories, but I saw some things from that group that I went, okay, you know, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, you only gave up 84, by the way. But, no, I mean, Texas
scored
come
57.
Off. Right, they scored over 100 against North Texas. Yeah. They scored over 100 against SMU. So they're a team that can obviously really score the basketball. Let's talk a little bit about, you got four true freshmen on this year's team. And let's talk a little bit about what you've seen from each one of them. Again, they're only 8 games into their college career, and no freshman class has ever had the kind of start when it comes to challenges off the court that the 2020-21 team has had across the country. But what have you seen from that group so far?
Well, I've seen a desire to please. I've seen a desire to want to be a part of a team and want to come out and work hard. We have some improving to do in some ways, absolutely. You know, I think Mondays are going to turn into some developmental days now with our schedule. And we were able to get some reps, you know, for those young players defensively. You know, they're just some things that they just, you know, when you haven't experienced it and we're in conference play now, you can't stick them out there and hope that they don't mess up, you know, or hope that they understand transition defense. And so just getting them those extra reps, I think, has been really good. And, you know, we had a couple of them in a key moment in that game on Saturday where it was time and score with 49 seconds left. We're down 2. We just need a stop. And we fouled a dead ball off an inbound and an inconsequential player, you know, just in an odd situation. And, you know, those are things that we've covered in practice. But until those lights come on and you're in that moment and you've got to think and you've got to execute, you know, those freshmen hadn't been in that. But I think they've done a great job of just buying in and being invested in what we're trying to do. And they're going to come up big. I think we need them to continue to grow and develop, but they're going to come up big for us here over the next few weeks, I think.
No doubt about it. You got some great senior leadership, obviously, in Amber Dixon and Raizel Ginto and Monette Bolden. And as you look, and again, the season's only 8 games old, so it's just a microcosm of what you're going to look at in a hopefully close to a 30-game season for you. You look at some of the stats. I mean, Raizel, you're not going to look down at the end of the year. She's not going to be shooting 25% from the three-point line. Kiana Walker has really stepped up big for you, averaging 17 points a game. Amber Dixon, I put out a little thing today. You know, her first 94 collegiate games, she had never pulled down more than 8 rebounds in a game. And here in the last 3, she's gone over 10 each game. So
I think she's at 11.5, you know, in conference play, and she's like 4th in the league.
Yeah, averaging almost 8 rebounds a game.
I told her if we could get her to crash the offensive boards consistently, she may be up around 15.
No doubt about it. But so she's given you that. You need to probably look at for her to score a little bit more. She's being so unselfish at times.
She has. And, you know, that was coming out of this weekend. I know we'll get to that. But, you know, looking at my when I go, gosh, we really struggle to score, you know, are we getting good shots? Are we taking good shots? And are the right people taking those shots? And I think she's been extremely unselfish. And, you know, she had 4 shot attempts on Saturday, and we've got to have more for that. And I thought we had some empty possessions where we have some younger players that are taking some shots that they, you know, you got to understand your role. You got to understand the moment. You know, we've got a chance. She had a great look at a 3. She's been shooting the 3 really well coming into this weekend. And she goes 1-for-1 on Friday night. She gets a great corner 3. We're down 2 to take the lead with, I think, 2 minutes left, minute and a half. And it just goes down and comes out. We get an offensive rebound off of it. But, you know, we gotta have her. You know, she makes a key basket on Friday night to tie it up or take the lead late in the game and give us a little bit of boost there. But she's been really consistent and kind of got off to a slow start, but it's really good to see her getting her legs under. I thought Raizel coming out on Saturday and knocking down those shots and getting going offensively is what she needed to. She needed to see that ball go in the hole, and we've got to find a way to get those 2 a couple more shots, and I think that'll help us out a lot.
No doubt about it. You know, last year in that win over UAB in the Conference USA tournament game, in that 4th quarter down the stretch, Kiana Walker and Anna Laura Robertson, I think, combined to score maybe 15 of the 19 points in that 4th quarter. And you actually went to Anna Laura time after time down the stretch as a true freshman. I think you've seen both of those take another step forward here in year number 3 for Kiana and year number 2 for Anna Laura.
Yeah, I think they've been a good 1-2 combo. I would be hard-pressed to find in – and this may come back to haunt me, but I think Kiana Walker is as dynamic an athlete as anybody in the league. And I think, you know, as far as her ability to get by people, I mean, you look at Anastasia Hayes at Middle Tennessee, but Kiana is a tremendous athlete. And when you get her in a closeout situation off ball reversal and you've got a defender flying out at her, it is extremely difficult for them to keep her in front of her. And she's done a great job of just getting around people, avoiding contact. You know, we got to get her playing off 2 a little bit more, making some better decisions, setting up people, because once she gets that, and I think that's where she was at the end of last year too, of just getting in there and then and that's going to create shots for Raizel. It's going to create open shots where, you know, for Lota, people like that, that are going to knock those down. But she's done a great job getting to the free throw line, just a ridiculous amount, and that's great. I mean, she's shooting 73% from the free throw line. Annalar's been super consistent for us. Had a tough weekend this weekend, but I think if you look back to Saturday, I think she only went like 4 of 10, but she hit some big shots in that second half of just we went to her, and she just continues. When you challenge her, she's not super emotional, but she will, you know, when she says I got you or yes ma'am, I mean, you know that she's going to come through for you.
Louisiana Tech 6-2 on the season, 1-1 in conference play. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll take a close look at this past weekend series against Marshall and then take a look forward to Western Kentucky, who's coming to Ruston this weekend. We'll be back for more of Inside Tech Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Injured athletes need quality care to get back into the game. And teams in our region understand they can score big points when they choose Willis-Knighton Sports Medicine for their athletes. Only Willis-Knighton offers 4 nationally recognized hospitals, professional orthopedic and sports medicine centers, sophisticated rehabilitation, and the largest group of orthopedic specialists in the region. Whether you're a high school, college, or pro athlete, WK Sports Medicine has you covered.
loyalty is the foundation of great relationships. At Origin Bank, relationship banking is not just a term we use. It's a way of doing business that's been at the heart of our company for over a century. Louisiana Tech and Origin Bank have a long history of partnering to improve our communities in North Louisiana and beyond. Origin Bank is the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics and an ever-loyal community partner. Origin Bank and Louisiana Tech, a winning team. Bank Original, member FDIC.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
Slam dunk your super savings at Super One Foods.
While the Bulldogs dominate the court,
Super One Foods takes you above the rim with low prices. Get the game-winning assist with our Super Wall of Value Savings. Cashier backing, along with buzzer-beating low prices to feed your team
for less.
Go Bulldogs and go to Super One Foods. Proud supporters of the La Tech Bulldogs. Super One Foods. Shop, save, smile.
Welcome back to the Doghouse Sports Grill. We're here for Inside Tech Basketball. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Brooke Storr. And Brooke headed to Huntington, West Virginia this past weekend, opened up Conference USA play. Obviously, this year, a new format that I'd love to get your take on. We've gone to Friday, Saturday. You're playing the same team back-to-back. Obviously, they're doing this to prevent you from having to travel on in between games, so that extra day where you're in airports or whatever. It's also cutting down on the road team having to test on that day in between. So basically, so people know, we're having been tested three times a week. When you're going on the road, your last test is the day before you leave. Once those everybody in the travel party has tested negative, and you leave on Thursday, you don't get tested again unless you become symptomatic on the road until you get back on that Sunday. So that's kind of what we did this weekend. I know from a recovery standpoint, it's not the greatest on the kids' legs, but I didn't see what I thought was fatigue or anything on Saturday in the second game. And I'll be honest with you, selfishly, I love the fact we left on Thursday and got back Saturday night.
Yeah, as a mom, I do too. I know that my two children, I want to be home to see them. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, as a coach, I was having a real hard time thinking about playing on Thursday, having that day in between, and then what if one of we have a positive? And as a mom, having to leave a player, like, I couldn't do that. And I think just being able to eliminate that, that took a lot of stress away from a lot of us coaches that we were really concerned about, and I know administrators as well. Is it ideal? No. Is it a lot of stress and strain on young people's bodies? But I also go, yeah, they're 18 to 22. And if it gave me a chance to play, our players are like, if this is the best way, if this is how we, you know, if this is the way that we have to do it, then we want to play. We'll figure it out, and we'll tough it out, and we'll go play as long as we can do it safely. And that's our biggest concern, is making sure that they're safe and that we're, you know, is it weird playing the same opponent? Yeah, it was very odd.
It was.
Walking back into that arena the next day after we had won the night before and going, oh, we're about to play the same team. Now, from a preparation standpoint, I think the advanced scout, you know, all that stuff is, you know, we had all that stuff ready, you know, if this is what we think. And honestly, for us, they had played two games. So it was really, really weird to start conference playoff with a team that I felt like we were playing a non-conference game at the beginning of the season where you had very little to scout. And they were without two of their players those two games.
Yeah.
And so, they, of course, they get them back against us. But I think it was interesting from a scouting perspective of you're not worried about getting in reps and preparation for two teams in 1 week. It's just that one, and so you can go, okay, if they do this, which we think they will, and this is our, you know, response when they make this adjustment, here's our adjustment. And I think that the work ahead of time, you know, for our staff has been good. But I think it was a little strange, but, you know, we're getting to play, and it's fun to watch our kids compete. Plus, there's a quick turnaround. Not all the time you get to go out and play a game and then watch the film and go, okay, hey, this is where we need to be better. And then you've got an opportunity to go out and correct that the next day against the same team.
No doubt about it. Both games had very similar looks. You know, you got behind by double figures in the first half. You were able to fight back on Friday, win that game 61-51 in overtime. Saturday got down by as many as 17 with about 13 minutes left in the game. All of a sudden it was like we flipped a switch, realized, uh-oh, we're down 17. I thought we played much more intense whenever after every loose ball, defended better down the stretch, and you cut it to one with about a minute the left, minute and a half. Amber had to look for three that would have put you on the lead. A couple just had some opportunities, weren't able to come up, lost that one 61-57. But the biggest negative on the stat sheet, and really maybe one of the only negatives on the stat sheet, is just couldn't shoot the basketball, and it wasn't from the lack of getting good looks.
As a coach, you go back and you go, okay, did we get good shots? You know, are we taking good shots? I felt like through our offense, I thought we got great looks, whether it be, you know, offensive rebound. I mean, we got 38 offensive rebounds in two games. That's pretty good. But we didn't score, and we didn't convert those into enough points. And it's just, you know, I can remember a possession in the first half on Saturday. We get three offensive rebounds, and three, we get three shots and can't convert, and we're just right there. And that's frustrating. That's frustrating as a coach. You know, I feel like, okay, can I get them in a better position to make a shot? You know, we got some great wide-open threes that just didn't go down. And, you know, sometimes that happens, and sometimes – you go, okay, well, we got to find a way to create something. Well, we turned them over. You know, we had 20, they turned it over 22 times on Friday night. We converted some of those. They turned it over 15 times. We took care of the ball, you know, 12 on Friday night, 13 on Saturday. I'll take that. Anytime we're under, you know, 15, that's great. You know, everything, we out-rebounded them. Defensively, you know, you hold a team to 51 in overtime on their home court and win. That's a big deal. You hold them to 61 on their home court the next night, you should win that game. And we needed one or two more shots to go in. I mean, honestly, we needed one more shot to go in. And we had a foul there at the end. But, you know, it's sometimes you get in those situations. I was actually watching Arkansas men play Missouri before our game started earlier that day, and you know they were in the same they had just scored 97 at Auburn earlier in the week, and then they're at home and score in the like 50s, could not make a shot, layups, you know, whatever. Sometimes you have those nights and you just got to battle and fight through them. I thought we didn't have the same defensive intensity in the first half,
right, Saturday.
And it wasn't necessarily that we weren't playing hard, we weren't communicating, and just we had a couple of miscommunications on a flare screen that gave Shy, two threes, and she knocked those down. And that's a kid that hadn't shot it well. And, you know, we tell them in a scout, you know, that you got to guard her like a shooter. She hadn't shot it well, but of course she hits two and kind of gets going. And, you know, I thought we did a great job on Wheeler, you know, all weekend long, their leading scorer, and forced her into seven turnovers on Friday night. Just like you said, both games had a similar look. We just couldn't find a way to finish that out on Saturday. And it's disappointing because we felt like, gosh, we got a chance to get two on the road. That's huge. Obviously, you want to try to get a sweep or a split at least, and we did that. But selfishly, as a coach, you're going, dang, we should have gotten both of those. We'd be 2-0, sitting in a really good spot coming home. But, you know, it's 2021 now, but you just got to continue to get better. And that's what our focus is. If I felt like we weren't taking good shots or – you know, we had kids that couldn't score, I'd be a lot more concerned. I think we've just got to knock down some shots. We got good looks.
Yeah, Kiana Walker, 26 points in the win on Friday. Obviously, she's, as you mentioned, a very dynamic player. And maybe the most impressive stat, besides the fact that she's averaging almost 18 points a game for you, is you know, last year she led this team in charges drawn with 29 in 30 games. So just about one a game, which is pretty impressive. You've played eight games so far, and she's drawn 18 of them, which means she's averaging over two a game. I mean, she's on pace to get more than 60 charges in a season, which is really unbelievable.
It's incredible, and those are those plays that just create energy for your group. Everybody feeds off of that. You know, she's just does a really good job, and honestly, she should have had two more over the weekend, but I just think that she's doing a really good job. Her feet are so good. She's got a good knack for that, and it's contagious. She takes them, and then other people are getting in the mix, and You know, we try to incentivize that with we give them a little coupon and they can use that to get out of a sprint at practice. So we try to incentivize some things like that, and they get excited about it and really get fired up for it.
At this rate, she won't have to run a sprint the back half of the
season. Well, you know, we had a practice the other day before we left, and we were doing a few sprints, and she used quite a few. So good. She said she had to take some this weekend to restock.
I was looking at the stat sheet. I was like, you know, she's averaging 3.5 rebounds a game. That's not bad, but the kid can jump. I'm like, you know, she needs to do a better job. Only 4 offensive rebounds on the year. She needs to do a better job. And I'm like, Malcolm, what are you talking about? She's leading the team in scoring. She's got to guard the best player for the other team for 40 minutes. I said, what else do you want from the kid?
Yeah, exactly. I'd like that 3-point percentage to be a little higher.
Sure.
The one thing I will say, she's not going to get too many offensive rebounds because we send her back in defensive transition.
Okay,
so we can get her on the defensive boards, though.
No doubt about it. Well, she's had a heck of a start. You got Western Kentucky coming in here this year, this weekend for 2 games, Friday at 6:30, Saturday at 4. Obviously a very old rival that goes back to our Sun Belt Conference days. They have really owned this series since we got into Conference USA. We lost 9 in a row against them. This year's team, they did not play this last weekend. Their series against Charlotte got canceled because of COVID on the Charlotte end of things. They're only 1-5. They graduated their best player in Dee Givens, who, although she wasn't the player of the year in the conference, I would argue I probably would have voted for her for player of the year last year. Their second best, their point guard, Whitney Creech, graduated, so they lost those two. And then really, the other third wheel of that cog from last year.
Which is hard to say she's the third wheel.
It is, because she's a heck of a player, averaged basically a double-double for him. She has not come back from Egypt yet, and so she's not even in the United States from
we
what
hope.
I understand.
Yeah,
yeah, well, she wasn't.
It would
in the
be
non-conference.
My luck that she shows up in Ruston on Thursday night.
So they're 1-5 and just haven't obviously had the firepower they've had the last few years.
Yeah, they're really young, and I think this team is going to grow. Greg does a great job, and I think they'll continue. The more they play together, they'll figure things out. They do some really good stuff defensively and just try to mix it up and run some different zones and force you into some turnovers and try to speed you up to take quick shots. And he's always done a great job with them. But he's kind of starting over with a new group, and I think this is a group that he's having to be patient with and figure things out. But they're always dangerous. If they get on a roll, they can and if we don't take care of the basketball, you know, we got to make shots, we got to take care of the ball, we got to attack, and then I think we got to continue to develop on the defensive end the way we have been, and then we need to rebound the basketball.
Well, looking forward to watching them this again. Friday night, 6:30 tip-off. On Saturday, it'll be a 4 o'clock tip-off. Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky, these two teams will meet for the 49th and 50th time in those series history. Best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Malcolm. I can tell you this, if we don't block out Abdel Gawad, we're going to
– She has 17 on us last
year.
And
I still haven't forgotten any of those 17.
No doubt about it.
She's a monster on the boards and as a small guard. So just a really big effort player, smart, savvy.
You probably have two of the best rebounding guards in the league in this game, Amber Dixon and Abdel
Gawad. We'll see who wins that battle.
No doubt about it. When we come back, it'll be Dave Nitz joined by Eric Conkle. They'll talk Bulldog basketball. We'll be back for more of Inside Tech Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
At Century Next Bank, we don't just do business in our communities. We invest in them, and that means investing in you. We are here for all the moments in your life, from your very first car, to the day you walk down the aisle, to the day you celebrate your retirement. We are here for all the moments in your life. Life's experiences that define you. When a bank becomes more than a checking account or a loan, we are here. Century Next Bank. What's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Ruston Eye and Vision, Dr. Brad Anders is here to meet all of your eye care needs. We do it all, from glasses and contacts to diabetic eye exams, glaucoma, redness, or dry eyes. At Ruston Eye and Vision, we prescribe Zeiss eyeglass lenses for the clearest optics and the highest quality of vision. Dr. Anders is happy to see patients of all ages, including infants and children. Call Ruston Eye and Vision today at 318-232-6552 to schedule an appointment, or just stop on by our office in the new expansion of Ruston Commons on Farmerville Highway, north of I-20 in Ruston.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
This commercial is for men only. Here's a tip to save you time, a tip to save you worry and frustration, a tip on an investment. First, let's save you time during the search for a gift for your best gal. Go straight to National Jewelry. Now, you won't worry and get frustrated and want to get her because whatever you get her from National Jewelry has got that wow factor. And the investment, it's solid. Gold, silver, and diamonds. Kind of simple, wouldn't you say? National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement ring store, Reynolds Drive in Ruston, where nobody says I do like we do.
Welcome back to the Doghouse here on 102 North Holbert in Ruston. I'm Dave Nitson. Joining me is Eric Cockle, the head coach of the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. So we're here each and every Monday night through the rest of the season. Eric, welcome to the show. And, boy, it's been a long time since we've done a show. And, matter of fact, go back a few weeks ago. It was the first time we've actually had a basketball game in a long time. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has, you know, and it's great to talk about basketball. It's great to be out here at the Doghouse and see a good number of friends and Bulldog fans here. But it's great to have a basketball season as well. It seems like it's just started, but at the same time, it feels like we've been doing it a while too.
What did you do during the off season with all this stuff, all the COVID going on? I mean, how did you handle all that from a practice standpoint and keeping the guys ready?
Well, the springtime first was really trying to manage them going to online classes, which was new, and just trying to help navigate all their schedules and everything, and then staying in constant contact with everybody and how they were doing health-wise, their families, our families here in Ruston, and then just preparing the best we could for the summer. And it felt like Groundhog Day every day. Every day was somewhat the same, but then it was also different because we were waiting on different information to come our way as to rules and regulations that were changing. Our game schedule changed several times. A lot of things that we were doing over and over again just to get to the same spot. But it's been a wild year.
Yeah, the COVID-19 has turned everybody upside down, hasn't it?
Sure has. I mean, it's been hopefully things are getting better here in 2021, and we can get back to the way things were. But I know it's been a challenging year for everybody.
Well, I know your schedule, you talked about it, was turned upside down too, because I remember the original schedule, I think, had LSU and Tech playing at over in Bossier, and then that was moved to a later deal. Kind of explain all of how you had to handle all of that.
Well, when NCAA came out with the ruling that we would start, instead of starting November 10th, our first game could be November 25th, that changed games. There was a number of games that we just lost at that point, one of them being the LSU game in Bossier. We were able to move that game to Baton Rouge, reschedule the game with LSU and Bossier for next season. But we had other games scheduled, like playing Texas and Colorado and some other games that were put together. Some that we were able to keep, some we lost, some we're going to keep trying to reschedule to the next year. But I give Coach Wolf on our staff a lot of credit for all the different communications with people, even through November and December, staying on top of it, because if any game got canceled, we wanted to find a game to get as soon as possible.
You know, and I think I told you this this week when we were talking about some things, the fact that I've come to find out that scheduling is not, you don't have to do it 10 years in advance like you used to do. And I know, for example, I think North Texas had their game canceled this past week, a conference game, and they went to Chicago and played Illinois-Chicago after just one day figuring out how to go. So it can be done, can it?
Well, it can be when everybody's looking.
Yeah, that's right.
So if nobody's looking, then it's hard to find. But I know in North Texas's case, they were supposed to play UAB over the weekend.
Right.
That got canceled or postponed. And like many of us, we just kind of keep a rolling contact list of people that are still needing games. And in that case, it was Loyola Chicago and North Texas. Both had conference games canceled. It just worked for both of them. North Texas goes up to Chicago and plays a game.
Let's talk a little bit about the Bulldogs starting the season. You started out with UT Arlington and Northwestern, a little, I guess I called it a round robin. You kind of explained how that got to be.
Well, the game with UTA and Northwestern State, that was done under our first schedule, actually. And the whole idea was that It's called a multi-team event. It allowed us to get other games. In a normal year, we would have played 31 total games. This year, the max we can play is 27. And we just, because of COVID-19, we reached out to a lot of regional teams to find a way to cut down on costs for everybody and make some regional games, and especially ones that had some historical rivalries. And with the history with Northwestern State and even UTA, we just thought it made a whole lot of sense, and that was a great, great event for us.
Yeah, you opened up with UTA, and you beat them 76-71. As I recall, at the end of the first half, the Bulldogs had like a 10-point lead, and then UTA started making a run at you.
Yeah, they've got a good team, really good backcourt, and it was a heck of a game to start the year off with. Felt a lot like a Conference USA game right off the jump. It was the strangest part about it all, Dave, was not having any scrimmage or any exhibition, no real chance to see where we were at in the first viewing of our team in live play against somebody else was a game that counts, and that's different in basketball.
And then, of course, two days later, you ended up playing Northwestern State. And, of course, Mike McConathy, a former great here at Louisiana Tech as a player, is now the head coach. But really opened up that game in the second half and won it 91-77. But that is always a big rivalry between Tech and Northwestern. And it goes back for many, many years, a lot longer than you and I have been around here.
Well, I know I've gotten to know Coach McConathy well, and then, of course, Dave Simmons, a former Bulldog great, is on their staff. I've gotten to know him well over the years, and it was great to have them back here in Ruston for a game. And they're a team that they play hard, they play fast, and they had it going there for a good part of the game, and we were fortunate to get enough stops and score enough buckets to get away from them.
You know, the Bulldogs are now 8-3 overall, and I was looking at your player stats. You have three players, Caleb Ledoux, Amore Archibald, and Kobe Williams, I believe, are the three that have started every game that you have played. So you've had to work in a couple of guys into that around those three that returned from last year.
Yeah, and we've got a number of guys that we're counting on, and five guys start the game. We could have a number of guys finish the game, and it's really all about production and contributions, and we've got a number of guys that are doing that right now.
Well, of course, then, unfortunately, you did have to play LSU down there, and they were just hotter than a firecracker. I mean, I think everything they threw up went in that Sunday.
Yeah, we knew they were going to be good. We knew they had talent. They played extremely well, and every single guy that appeared in that game, it seemed like, could make a three, made several, and through contested hands and so forth, and they really spread us, and we did not play great offensively, too. Once we got behind a little bit early, I felt like we pressed in that game, just didn't play a sound offensive game plan where we were sharing it and getting a good rhythm.
You know, I'll go back one other step there. You played ULM, actually, before you went to LSU and had him home and home in the first one on December the 3rd. And you won that game 78-62. And again, it was familiar faces that you were facing as far as coaches were concerned and our fans, at least.
Yeah, Coach Richard, I've gotten to know him over the years and, of course, spent so many years here at Tech. We've scrimmaged ULM over our time here. We were scheduled to scrimmage them again this fall. And so Coach Richard and I were just speaking one day about how things were going and in each of our schedules, and both of us had two games left to get, and we just kind of talked and said, this would be pretty easy just to make drives down I-20 to play a couple games, and that's what we did.
And then you end up, you play Southeastern Louisiana 3 days after the LSU game, and I'll just be honest with you, I thought after the game at LSU, the Bulldogs would really come out fire and brim, really get after it, but it was really kind of a struggle. We ended up winning it by 9 points, but I felt like that was a game where, well, maybe we were going to come out and just on fire that game.
Yeah, I really think that our confidence was a little bit shaken after that LSU
right.
game, and it being so early in the season with a number of guys who have been in the program but are elevating their roles into greater, more productive roles, and I just felt like even in practice, like there was an uncertainty a little bit of but that game in particular, having that type of struggle against Southeastern, I think has helped us.
Yeah, sometimes you need a game like that to kind of get the players' attention, if nothing else.
Well, it can, and especially when you can close out a close game. Southeastern played very, very well and made some shots, got hot in the second half. And being able to finish out a close game, even when things aren't going so great for you, can be a real positive.
And, of course, then you travel down to UL Lafayette, ended up losing that game 61-56. That was a game that, you know, you look back up on it and you had that lead at halftime. You felt really good at that particular point, and UL Lafayette just kind of turned up the heat in the second half on you.
Well, I ended up being I remember at halftime we had a lead, and telling the team that, hey, they've had three starters with two fouls that have missed most of this half. You better believe that those guys are going to be fired up, ready to come back out, and that proved to be true. And then we struggled offensively in that game. That was a very just a hard-playing defensive battle, and both teams had a hard time scoring. We had a little harder time scoring than them in that game.
Then you come back home 3 days later. You take on Jackson State, won that one quite handily. And then you beat Lamar right at the Christmas break, or close to the Christmas break, 86-57. Again, a team that not the same players, but the fans were at least were familiar with the name, the Lamar Cardinals.
Yeah, great history. Been in the same league in the past, and you know, a team that's got some talent and had some good guard play. We came out and played very well in that game, pretty much start to finish. So that was a great performance by our entire team.
And then you had to, right before Christmas, and I know coaches throughout the history I've talked with, they're always concerned about that last game before the Christmas break, because, you know, players are thinking about, okay, when am I going to get at home? When all this going to happen? And all of a sudden you got a basketball game to worry about, and you have ULM at their place that night. So that was a tough challenge for you and the players, I thought.
Well, it's tough because you always want to have a good Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, winning before Christmas is always makes it better. But no doubt, we told the team that we wanted to have a focus like a laser, not like a flashlight. And our laser focus needed to be solely on ULM, that if you're going to pack your bags, just don't pack your mind, that we needed to lock in on this game. And we knew in that game that ULM would just have more experience. When we played them the first time here, that was their first game. And they had a lot of games under their belt. They had a couple good wins. And, you know, we got a really good fight out of them and had a hard time early guarding their motion. But then we got into a rhythm in the second half and were able to pull away.
I'm going to go back a step here and just ask you this. You talked about playing UT Arlington, Northwestern, ULM, Southeastern, Lafayette, Lamar, Jackson State, you know, first time in a while we've played some of those teams. Is that something that you're going to try to do in the future to get some of those teams maybe on a home-and-home basis? I don't know what your schedule looks like in the future, and I know it's a while to go, but still it's something you have to think about.
Well, you're right. We operate day by day right now. But, you know, we've had conversations with all those teams in the past, and scheduling is so much about several different types of needs, from home game, away game. There could be financial considerations, and of course the date. And we've had conversations in the past. We will be returning to Northwestern State next year and playing them. You know, we'll have Lafayette here, and other than that, our schedule's still pretty wide open, but we're still trying to figure out what the rules are going to look like and schedule and everything else next year before we make any decisions.
Yeah, that's the thing right now. I mean, If you went into last year and say, okay, this is our schedule, and then all of a sudden it turns out to be what it was or what it has been, it was not anything like you had really planned.
We had so many different versions of our schedule. I mean, it's from the games to the schedule, the dates of the games, and we've been part of the lucky ones. I think you know, Kane McGuire sent the stat. I think we're only one of nine teams in the entire country that played their schedule the way it was scheduled to be. We didn't have any interruptions. We didn't have any postponements in our non-conference. So we've been lucky.
Our special thanks to the loyal Louisiana Tech supporters, Bert Davis and staff, for serving up the best burgers in the area during tonight's Inside Tech Basketball. Make sure you come in and eat when the Dogs eat prior to the next Bulldog or Lady Texter home game, the Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. We're back with more Inside Tech Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill. This is the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Are physical limitations or pain impacting your ability to move, function, and enjoy life? If so, it is time to get physical. Physical Therapy Balance Centers of Ruston and Jonesboro is unlike any therapist clinic you've been to before. Our highly skilled, compassionate team of physical therapists are 100% focused on achieving optimal health and wellness for you so you can get back to living the life you enjoy. Let us talk to you about how we can help you love your life again. Physical Therapy and Balance Centers. Spelled different because we are different.
Slam dunk your super savings at Super One Foods.
While the Bulldogs dominate the court,
Super One Foods takes you above the rim with low prices. Get the game-winning assist with our Super Wall of Value Savings. Cashier backing, along with buzzer-beating low prices to feed your team for less. Go Bulldogs and go to Super One Foods. Proud supporters of the La Tech Bulldogs. Super One Foods. Shop, save, smile.
Loyalty is the foundation of great relationships. At Origin Bank, relationship banking is not just a term we use. It's a way of doing business that's been at the heart of our company for over a century. Louisiana Tech and Origin Bank have a long history of partnering to improve our communities in North Louisiana and beyond. Origin Bank is the official bank of Louisiana Tech Athletics and an ever-loyal community partner. Origin Bank and Louisiana Tech, a winning team. Bank Original, member FDIC.
The Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston is a proud hotel partner of Louisiana Tech Athletics and the recipient of the Louisiana Travel and Promotion Association Accommodations of the Year. We are just minutes from Louisiana Tech campus and stadiums and take great pride in providing our guests exceptional service while they're in town visiting our beautiful community. With our spacious guest rooms, free internet, complimentary breakfast, and friendly staff, our guests are sure to experience true Southern hospitality. Come visit the Hampton Inn by Hilton of Ruston. We will ever loyal be.
We're back at the Doghouse Sports Grill for more Inside Tech Basketball live from the Doghouse Sports Grill here at Ruston. Hope you'll join us each and every Monday evening from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Malcolm Butler and Coach for the Lady Texers all joining us earlier this evening. And, you know, I got to tell a little bit of a story. We have some fans here tonight, and they may not be all Louisiana Tech fans. And a little story about something that happened to me personally. About a month ago, I'd bought a new car, and the sales manager, when I got to pick it up, when I went to pick it up, the salesman said, well, I'm going to do something for you, and or have done something for you, because I looked and I said, well, this must not be my car, because it already has a sticker on it. It was a Louisiana Tech sticker on the back windshield. And the sales manager, who is a big Tech fan, told me later, he said, man, my heart started throbbing because he said, this guy is a big LSU fan, and he asked me where I could get a Louisiana Tech sticker, and I thought I've turned somebody the right way. So anyway, we appreciate all the fans here. Maybe we'll get a Tech fan or two. You never know how it goes, but just a little story that happened to me personally, and I appreciate those folks.
Well, I do too, and hopefully anybody that's driving down I-20 close by and just happens to flip on this radio station, they become fans as well.
That's exactly right. Well, we started conference play on January the 1st, New Year's evening, and you took on the herd of Marshall, and they came to town, and the Bulldogs were able to do okay the first game of that series, beating Marshall by a score of 75-68. And it was really, I think, the seven-point lead that it ended up winning it by. That was the largest lead that anybody had that entire game.
Yeah, you know, it was a great game, great way to start conference play, and especially coming after a layoff. I thought both teams were a little bit rusty early on and getting into the swing of things. Both of us had played around the 22nd of December, so it had been a little time. But I just thought it was a high-level basketball game, two good teams, and going at each other, and we were fortunate to come away with a win.
And then, of course, you had to turn around the next night and play Marshall again. It was kind of interesting. The next night, Marshall wore the white uniforms, and Tech wore the red uniforms on Saturday night. Is that something that was predetermined, or how did you go about that?
Yeah, it's really something I don't like. I always like us wearing white, at home or not having anybody else wear white. But it's just because they're back-to-back games and doing the laundry that quickly. Teams are coming with two different jerseys, and most teams obviously have the white. But I'm going to see if in the future I can do something different with that.
But then on Saturday night, you took on Marshall for the second time and really got off to a good start against the Herd. Had a pretty good size lead at halftime. And then Marshall started flinging those three-pointers, which you knew at some time, everybody around basketball knowing something about Marshall knew eventually that was going to happen.
Yeah, you know, we kind of went into the weekend feeling like it's an 80-minute game, but you keep score after the first 40 minutes. And for about 65 minutes, we played really good defense. We defended them well in the first game. First 25 minutes of that game on Saturday, we defended them very well. And then the next 15 minutes, we couldn't stop them. And we tried a number of different things. But, you know, if you believe in the law of averages, that was the law of averages because we made them miss an awful lot, you know, for the first game, first half of the second game. But the last half, they didn't miss much.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed, and you can explain this probably better than I can, but it seemed like when they got on a roll in that second half on Saturday, they weren't really running a lot of plays. They were throwing the ball across the court, you know, going from, say, sideline to sideline instead of up and down. And that really caused the problem.
Well, what they did is they, you know, they moved the ball very quickly and have some quick reads. And then where they're so different is that their front court guys, they'll have a package of those guys that are diving on the rim really hard for lobs, and then they really shoot the three. And in Byers and Williams, those two guys are their two best three-point shooters. And when you space the floor with bigs like that, you got to have some other types of plans. And it had been playing our switching man-to-man, gave us some good success on Friday. And we just weren't quite as connected on Saturday. And, frankly, they made some very difficult shots, and that basket got so big on that end for them, we were having just a hard time making them miss.
Byers was one of the guys that I thought he was just in a zone because it seemed like, you know, he was shooting from NBA range three-pointers along the sideline. I mean, it was just seemed like the ball hit his hand and it was already off to the basket. He didn't have to reload.
Yeah, you know, he's 6'9", and he was spacing to 25 feet. And with Wes, their point guard, and the way that he can wiggle and get downhill, we want to try to play in the gaps and try to limit that penetration, but they were pitching it out to Byers, and he got a couple looks. He ended up going 3-for-6 from that game from three. But those threes that he hit just made us space the floor differently for our defense and opened up some things for some other people.
Yeah, it was a tough wait. And it came down right to the last moment. They made some free throws, and so many times, as I know Jack especially, he likes to talk about free throws at the end of the game. And like you know as a coach, it can make a difference.
Yeah, you know, it still came down to the very last moments. You know, we had a great run early. They had a great run. And then it's a one-possession game in the last 2 minutes. You know, they missed a front end of a bonus. We missed a front end of the bonus. They had a turnover. We have a turnover. But they buried a big three there with about a minute and a half to go that we just weren't able to quite recover from.
You know, when the Bulldogs are on the road, the Doghouse Sports Grill right here at Ruston is your away game watch party. You can call today to make your reservations for away games because this is the place to be. The Doghouse Sports Grill, where the Bulldogs are always on. We'll be back to wrap up Inside Tech Basketball coming up next on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Ever put your watch on at 7 in the morning only to notice it reads 2:35? Or that sinking feeling when you click your vehicle remote and the doors don't open? You need to see Paul at National Jewelry. Watch batteries, vehicle remote batteries, install quickly. Paul can also fix that link in your watch band and all other jewelry repair, and they do it in-house. Guys, please don't forget your anniversary this month. National Jewelry has your special surprise. National Jewelry, your diamond and engagement and battery store. Reynolds Drive, Ruston.
Hey, Bella, do you like going to the dentist? Yes, I love Dr. Page.
Kids like to come to Trenton Dental Center, and we love protecting their smile. This is Dr. Paige Valentine. We recommend children start dental checkups after their third birthday. Our general examination of your child's teeth and gums will ensure their winning smile stays that way. Trenton Dental Center, located at 1605 North Trenton in Ruston, and online at TrentonDentalRuston.com.
No matter what challenges life throws your way, Century Next Bank is here for you. Whether it be buying your first home, or welcoming new members of the family, or facing all the financial burdens that come with this journey we call life, Century Next Bank is here for you. For solutions to help you face this brave new world, we are here. Century Next Bank, what's next for you? Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Doghouse Sports Grill. We're back for more Inside Tech Basketball as we wrap it up. And I want to talk about a couple of players on the Bulldogs. And one of them is Isaiah Crawford, who ended up with 33 points and 13 rebounds in the two games. Boy, he just made – here's a guy that came off – was a season-ending injury last year and has been able to rehab himself and do what he did this past weekend.
Yeah, so proud of him. I mean, you think about it, that was only his fourth and fifth conference game of his career this last weekend. So he played just a few games last year before hurting his knee out at UTEP and then missing the rest of the year. And he's worked extremely hard to get himself back in. You can just see him starting to get more and more confident and comfortable in his body and his play. And it's very, very exciting to see.
Yeah, you don't see a 6'6" guy too often that goes out on the perimeter and likes to shoot the three. I don't know if that's what you want him to do or not, but he doesn't.
Absolutely want him to do that. I mean, I want him playing a complete game. I think he's one of those guys that provides a lot of versatility to us, where we can play him inside, we can play him outside. He's a good passer. He's got a really good feel, and I just think he's going to keep getting better and better.
One other player, very quickly, we have about a minute or a minute and a half here, is Junior Lofton. Everybody asked me, how in the world did Tech get this guy? He's from Port Arthur, Texas, and, you know, he looks like probably a defensive tackle in football. What's he, 6'7 or 6'8, and he weighs less than 300 pounds, I guess, now, but he did weigh over 300. How'd you get a guy like that?
Well, we brought him here to the doghouse on his visit, and he had a great time. You know, his mom went to Grambling. He's got lots of family in Louisiana, especially down in Lake Charles. Of course, he's from Port Arthur. And but he was a guy that they just felt very connected to this area, number one. And then we identified him early, I think before a lot of people did, brought him to our summer camp where we could evaluate him. And, you know, we offered him right away and just made him a priority. And he's a young freshman. He's getting better and better, but he's got great hands and feet. Of course, we're going to keep working with him to develop his physical skills, but he's got a bright future.
One thing you have this weekend, you go to Western Kentucky to take on the Hilltoppers, who are 8-3. The three games they have lost have been to West Virginia, Louisville, and at Charlotte, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But here they come in, probably a team that has picked to win Conference USA, and you have to go to their place to play both Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's they're a great team. They've got really good players, both inside and out. They're old. You know, this league is very, very tough. You know, it doesn't really surprise me that they won one at Charlotte and then lost the next one. It's kind of, I think, five out of the six games or five out of the six events this weekend ended in splits. So we got some good video on those guys, and they've got some real, real talent, especially in Charles Bassey on the inside, and then Hollingsworth on the perimeter, who seems like he's been in the league forever. But, you know, we've got to put together a great game plan and go up there and execute it very well.
Well, thanks for being with us. Our first show for the year. We'll see you again next Monday night right here at the Doghouse. Eric Conkle, head coach of the Bulldogs. Our thanks also to Elton Taylor, our engineer here on site at the Doghouse Sports Grill. Hope you'll join us again next Monday, 6 to 7 o'clock for Inside Tech Basketball. For Eric Conklin and all the staff here at the Doghouse, I'm Dave Nitz. So long, everybody.
Live at the Doghouse Sports Grill, Inside Tech Basketball has been brought to you by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics. Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.